Welcome to the Natural Alternative Podcast. You're here today with Madonna Guy, and I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Rima Labo. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Madonna?
Very well. So we have nothing to chat about today, obviously, given our little preemptive chat. So let's start with a little bit of your history. You have such a breadth of experience in, well, whistleblowing amongst everything else. But tell us a little bit about your history. How did you get here today as such a force?
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying I'm a force. I have always been addicted to the truth as I see it, and I'm always willing to change what I understand the truth to be based on based on reality, based on data. I'm very fond of data. Some things like love don't require data. They are a truth unto themselves, but everything else that has anything to do with science or health or ill health or politics or finances, and they're all very much the same, aren't they?
They are.
Has an awful lot to do with data, which means the integrity of science and data collection is essential to understanding the world. Now, I come from a home, family of origin, with several blatantly, floridly psychotic people. So for me as a child, my mother and my brother were absolutely clinically insane and violent, and my father wasn't wrapped too tight. So for me, survival meant developing a bullshit meter with a hair trigger that would peg zoom when I heard nonsense or irrationality or lies or distortions. And that was a very unpleasant but useful background for somebody who wants to know what's real and has a wish to speak openly about what's real, and that would be me. So I decided that I was going to go to medical school. And on my very, very first day, and by the way, it was very difficult for me to get into medical school because the interviews didn't go well. People would ask me what I thought and I would tell them. And at that time, this was a long time ago, I entered medical school in 1966. At that time, women were not welcome, at least in the United States and in medical schools. And so you had to be three times as well prepared as a man. And you also had to meet the stereotypical requirements, docile, eyes downcast, flirtatious. That didn't work. So eventually I did get into medical school. And on my very first day, my very first lecture, the most important course in the entire curriculum, which of course is written by the pharmaceutical industry and controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, which explains why physicians do not know anything about nutrition.
Or the
it
human
makes
body,
sense.
you know, it's
Or
amazing.
The human body, actually,
Yeah.
or frequency, or a great many other things.
Yes.
But I didn't know that at the time. I was, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I had my pencil. We had pencils and pens and this stuff called paper back then. It was amazing. Anyway, I'm sitting there, my first lecture, my first day of my first hour of medical school, ready to write. Maybe it was a pen. Could have been a pen. Anyway, the professor of pharmacology, which is a great way to start off medical education, right? The professor of pharmacology says, men, and I immediately checked to make sure that I had not made a significant error, but he in fact was wrong. He said, men, I want you to remember this. There are only side effects to drugs. Only side effects? He said, all drugs work by the same method. They all poison enzyme systems. And if you like the effect, you call it a therapeutic benefit. If you don't like the effect, you call it a side effect. But in fact, there are only side effects. So I stuck up my little hand and I said, As I understand it, enzymes are the very stuff of life. And there are about 35,000 enzymatic reactions in every one of the 10 trillion cells of the body at every moment. And therefore, if you're poisoning enzymes, how are you doing people any good? And he said, in a long paragraph with a lot of very multisyllabic words, basically, sit down and shut up. And two things happened at that point, Madonna. The first was that I said, I will never do that to a patient. I will never use a pharmaceutical compound to poison enzyme systems. I will find other, better, non-toxic ways. So that was my first moment in medical school. And the second thing that happened is I realized, because I'm fairly analytic, I realized that this profession that I was now entering the conveyor belt of was very, very happy with how questions, but didn't like why questions at all, which alerted me, and my education confirmed completely, to alerted me to the fact that allopathic medicine has absolutely no interest in finding the root cause and curing the underlying reason that anything exists. What they do is suppress symptoms, and they do it badly. And that means they need more of what is the whole point of the deal, which is drugs, which
Yes.
is control, which is illness. So it's an illness management, manipulation, and manufacturing system, which I'm licensed in. Now, in almost 53 years of being a physician, I have never written a, and a psychiatrist, I have never written a prescription for a pharmaceutical. Never. I have written for bioidentical hormones, but I have never written a prescription for a drug because, as I said on my very first day of medical school, I will never do that to a patient. By the way, I'm unemployable within the medical system. So, I had a private practice in New York State, in and around Manhattan, and people would come to me for non-pharmaceutical treatment for frequency, homeopathic, neurobiofeedback, nutrition detox, this and intravenous nutrition chelation, this and that and the other thing, really cool stuff with a lot of cool toys and a lot of interaction. And they would get well and they would tell their friends about what had happened to them, and people would come from further and further away until eventually I was seeing people from all over the world without doing any advertising, but they would get well. And I was seeing, the plumber's wife and the super elites of the world. And the super elites, by the way, never paid their bills. So I developed a separate policy for them. The plumber's wife, even if she owed me money, would always pay. The super elites, the kings, the queens, the musicians, the athletes, they would never pay. And so for them, I had a special policy, which was they had to pay me in advance for that day's treatment. A wonderful moment where the wife of a very, very, very famous and powerful sheikh was standing in front of my receptionist desk, and the receptionist asked her for the money, the in cash. No checks or credit cards for these people because they simply would stop them. And so she asked for the amount of money that was anticipated for that day's treatment. And the woman with her two bodyguards behind her in her abaya, her robes, said, "Do you know who I am?" And I came out from behind the reception from the partition and said, "Yes, madam, and that's why you're paying in cash and these people aren't." So that was fun. Anyway, I was doing that for a time. And then one of these poobah people was a queen. I can't tell you who she was because she deserves medical privacy even though she's an entirely reprehensible specimen of a human being. And she said to me one day, "You know, it's almost time for the great culling to begin." And I said, "The what?" And she said, "Culling, C-U-L." I said, "I know the word. What are you talking about? What's the great culling?" And she said, "The culling of the useless eaters." Now, this was back in 2002, 2003, and I had never heard the term useless eater. I have a great deal of understanding of it now, but I had not at that time. And I said, "What's a useless eater?" She said, "Not what, my dear. Oh, do I hate it, Madonna, when people I don't have a relationship with call me my dear or honey or sweetie or I hate that." Anyway, I said, "What's a useless eater?" She said, "Not what, my dear. Who?" And I said, "Okay, who's a useless eater?" She said, "Those people who are consuming our non-renewable resources." And I said, "Did it ever occur to you that you're consuming their non-renewable resources?" And she said, "Oh, that's an interesting point. Well, anyway," and she dismissed that. And I
As
said, "So
they
how,
do.
as they do, yes, they don't have to think about these things." And so I said, "Well, how many of these useless eaters are you planning on culling?" And she said, "90%." And I said, "90% of what?" And she said, "90% of the current world's population." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait, 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 wait. Your enormous fortune is based on selling massive amounts of shit to huge numbers of people. So if you don't have huge numbers of people to sell your massive amounts of shit to, how are you going to maintain your enormous wealth?" And she said, No, you really don't understand, my dear." I said, "Obviously, I don't." She said, "The mercantile era, which began in the 14th century with the Hanseatic League in Germany, is coming to an end. We are moving to the neo-feudal era. There will be us, the neo-aristocrats." She was already an aristocrat. "There will be us, the neo-aristocrats at the top, surrounded by our servants and servitors." Madonna, that was the first time I ever heard anybody use the word servitor in a sentence. "Surrounded by our servants and servitors, and around them our technicians." And that requires only 10% of the current population. Everyone else is superfluous. And she left. By the way, I cured her. She left, and I thought, either this woman is completely insane, and because I was focused on a physical issue, I didn't think about it and I completely missed it, or she had just has just given me an enormously important clue. Well, of course, the reality is both. She gave me an enormously important clue, and she was crazy as a bedbug. Because she's a psychopath. She was raised to be a
And she
psychopath.
was talking about it. She
No,
wasn't
she was
hiding
perfect.
it.
Well, I was, not someone that she could expect any harm from. I was, a servitor. So
Yes.
why not? She could speak. When you go to the hairdresser and the hairdresser's combing your hair and you say, "Oh God, I can't believe he left me." It's kind of that. You're
Yeah.
speaking to someone who's irrelevant to you, but you're speaking for your own purposes, as she was. So, anyway, I thought I got to know more about this useless eater stuff. And this was back in 2002 when we didn't have the kind of resources that we have on the internet. So, research was considerably harder. And I started learning about useless eaters. And I discovered that useless eater was a term of art. As Hitler was coming to power, and that it has a old and disreputable history among murderous, psychopathic monsters known as politicians, kings, queens, etc. And by the way, there is an article that's still available on the internet called "The Killing Fields of Codex," CODEX. And in the Killing Fields of Codex, I bring together the information about the weaponization of food, which is what Codex Alimentarius is, and the elimination of useless eaters. And of course, now we see the World Health Organization, which really should be called the World Holocaust Organization, in my opinion. We see similar to the United States FDA, not the Food and Drug Administration, the Fraud and Death Administration,
And the CDC.
and the CDC, Center for the Creation of Diseases. So we see that every aspect of life is being weaponized to bring into place the very, very well thought out, brilliantly financed, completely inhuman, and psychopathic thing that we call globalization or the Great Reset.
Yes.
The plans have been laid for well over 100 years. People don't realize that Brave New World was an exact blueprint. It was published in 1922, written in 1921, and published in 1922 by Aldous Huxley. He was part of a group of people known as the Fabian Socialists. Margaret Mead was a Fabian Socialist. George Bernard Shaw, George Orwell, who wrote what he believed was a description of what was coming, not a cautionary tale, in 1984 and Animal Farm and so on. His last words, when he was asked how he saw the future of humanity as he was dying, he said, "A boot on the face of humanity forever." Well, that's what globalization is. And they were waiting for their technology, but they laid out their intent. And now, with the artificial wombs,
Oh,
the
that's awful, isn't it?
yes, well, now we have the ability to create chemically altered, transhumanized non-humans.
Yes.
And of course the quote
Germ free.
vaccine.
Oh.
Yes. And so and owned, patented and owned. So this is neo-slavery.
Yeah.
This is an incredible evil. And it comes in one shiny package after another shiny package. One of the things, oh, so back to how this pertains to me. So I learned and I studied and I read and I realized that our side, the health freedom side, has a problem. We're right. We understand the situation. And this goes back a long way. We understand the situation. We know what's wrong. We know what's coming. We know what's happening. But we, in general, do not have much of a capacity to act, to think strategically, and choose our actions tactically. What we do is we wait until something bad is just about to happen or already has happened. We've lost another skirmish or a battle. And then we run around with our hands in the air and we say,
Yeah.
terrible. And we've lost that one. And then we repeat, we rinse and repeat. Well, I was married to an astounding human being. Much to my surprise, I was an old anti-war activist, and I wound up literally leaping into the arms of a total stranger who turned out to be Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III, an astonishingly brilliant strategic analyst who did that for the Army as part of their intelligence world, and had a huge impact on what happened with Russia during the Cold War. Anyway, he and I were running my medical practice. He was an amazing healer and teacher, hands-on healer, extraordinary man. And I walked into his office one day and I said, "Darling, we have to close the practice." And he, being, in addition to brilliant and strategic and so on, was practical. He's because we earned our living through the practice. And he said, "Why?"
Oh no,
Not a
not that
bad
question.
question. Not a bad question. Thank you. That was a good point. Why? And I said, because we're losing every battle, because our side does not think strategically. They act tactically. And if we do not enter this fray to derail the globalists, we will lose everything globally. And I explained what I was hearing. And of course, I had been talking to him about it all along as I was becoming educated in this area. And he said, yes, I agree. And so we closed our practice of medicine, drug-free medicine. And we sold our house so we'd have some walking around money. And we created the Natural Solutions Foundation. You have sympathy with some of those words.
I sure do.
We created the Natural Solutions Foundation, a completely independent NGO, with no ties to any government or any industry or any anything, except the truth. And we decided of all of the issues that lay before us, vaccination, chemtrails, the weaponization of food, the complete disaster that is the allopathic medical system, et cetera, et cetera. We said that there were multiple doors that we could enter this world of impending destruction through, but the one that we chose to start with was food. Everybody eats. Mothers, every mother on the planet, whether she's white or black or green, no matter where she lives, every mother on the planet wants to supply her children, her family, her community, herself with good food. If she has access to it, if she has knowledge about it, she understands intuitively that the better the food is for the children, the healthier the children will be. The better the food is for the family, the healthier the family will be. Now, much of that has been distorted by advertising and deceit and pseudoscience and so on, but it's kind of built into us. Those who nurture want to nourish. And so we thought, okay, that gives us an automatic half of humanity on our side to start with. And then there's science, and then there's nutrition, not medicine, but nutrition. And I was by that time a practicing nutritional medicine and detoxification and was pretty good at that. And so we started attending the Codex Alimentarius meetings all around the world, and we figured out how a country could protect its food supply and not be hit with crushing international sanctions from the World Trade Organization by not following the voluntary codex standards. We wrote a book on it, and we started traveling around the world to the poorest countries, those that were going to die first from the weaponization of food. And we started meeting with their kings and presidents for life and prime ministers and their poobahs and their ministers of health and so on. We would basically make an appointment. It really wasn't that hard. And in Africa, particularly, we would say, your people are going to die first. And frequently, the president or the king or the president for life or the whatever, prime minister, whatever, who was wearing a, $4,000 Seville row suit and driving around in a Mercedes-Benz, would say, yes, I know. But if we do anything about it, our fragile economy will be destroyed by the World Trade Organization. And we would say, not so. And we'd pull out the book and we'd explain to him how this actually could work. And those countries that followed our lead did, in fact, prevail at the World Trade Organization dispute resolution level. But it takes quite a lot of courage to defy the United States government, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and so on. And five African presidents recently who said, going to do this COVID-19
Yes.
gene therapy thing. think we're going to do that. And we've tested a goat and a papaya, and they've come back COVID positive. We don't really trust this. Those five presidents are dead.
I'd
These
heard
people do
four.
not.
I hadn't heard of the fifth.
Five.
Yes.
As my husband was murdered, and the last attempt on my life, the last very serious, credible attempt on my life, number nine, was October 21st of this year, just
You
under
are
2 months
meant to be
ago.
here. You are meant to be here, Dr. Rima.
Well, he was meant to be here too, but they finally did get him. That's another story.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And by the way, he has remained very active and very present. And I am not the only person who has seen him. They're documented and photographed and validated events. He's very active. And if anybody in the world could do this, the man who always said, "Who made that rule?" could do it. And so there, if people go to NSFmarketplace.com, that stands for Natural Solutions Foundation, NSFmarketplace.com, they will see that they can buy an ebook or a hard copy book called The General Speaks, colon, Intimate Conversations with the Dead, which is the first 2 years of his transmissions, which are spectacular. They're funny, they're profound, and they're really, really important. And that has continued. So that's a side note. Anyway, he was murdered on his birthday, which is a ritual sacrifice point that is not uncommon. And that was done not only to shut him up, but to shut me up. And oops, they got the wrong cat. So moving right along. At this point, when the COVID nonsense was brought forward, as was planned, as was stated, well over a decade ago, this would be the method. Both the predictive programming shows us this, and their documents.
Yeah, the decade
I
of
appeared.
vaccines.
Well, at pseudo vaccines,
Yes.
injections. We must not call them vaccines. We must call them what they are. We can call them jabs or injections or gene therapies, but they're not vaccines. It's really important. Vaccines are bad enough, but
Yes.
my God, this is like a whole new universe of bad.
Absolutely.
And well planned out. When I first heard about these DNA and mRNA vaccine things, almost a decade ago, I wrote an article in which I said, "What could possibly go wrong?" How wonderful, wonderful. We're going to do wild genetic manipulation, knowing this much about the thousand-mile-long genetic reality. You know, this much. And this much, half of it's evil. So, I realized that taking down the narrative had to be my focus. Now, in 2009, Governor Jesse Ventura interviewed me, and I said, "Here's what's coming." Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, which is exactly where we are now. And people say to me, "How did you know? Oh my God, you knew that then." And I say, "I read their documents and I took them seriously. They have been telling us exactly, precisely, not hypothetically, not the predictive programming, playing cards for the World Trade Center, demolition, not the movies or the X-Files saying, you know, there's going to be a virus. They could put it in the vaccines, and then there could be frequency. You know, yes, but not that. They've been laying it out in
Yeah.
serious documentation. And I've been reading their documents and saying, oh, here's what they're going to do. Initially, people said, "You are insane." And I said, "Yes, but I'm right anyway. Those are orthogonal to one another. You can be insane and be right. I'm willing to say, okay, I'm insane, but I'm right. And if you're not paying attention, you're insane." That's how I feel about it. The data is there, the reality is there, the implementation is there, and now the latest piece of it has a couple of different names. One name is the Pandemic Preparedness and Response Treaty. Let's start with the fact, Madonna, that there is no such thing as a pandemic in a modern society. Doesn't happen. If the society is working properly, there is adequate hygiene, there is adequate sanitation, there is adequate nutrition, so that people's immune systems, unless you have a bioweapon, of course, that's a little bit of a wrinkle, but people's new immune systems are completely competent to deal with whatever they need. They might get a fever, they might get the sniffles, could be they get achy, and then they get better. And now they have natural immunity. Oh, that's how it's designed to work. Oh, and the fever is useful. Oh, look at that. The system is working properly because we are surrounded by, permeated by, and infused by viruses and bacteria and parasites. And we do just fine as long as we have hygiene, sanitation, and nutrition. A little mental health would help, some joy, which upregulates the immune system, a lot of love, art, beauty, that kind of stuff. But that's part of nutrition because that's part of how we get nourished as human beings. Now, turns out that each one of those has been weaponized, each and every one, in
Yes.
order to make sure that the greatest collective vulnerability that we have, our individual and collective immune system, has been degraded by weaponized food, by radiation, both ionizing and non-ionizing radiation, by propaganda that tells us that we don't know anything about our bodies, only the man in the white coat does, with a
Dr.
stethoscope
Fauci.
around his neck, or Dr. Fauci, who is the science. Dr.
He
Fauci is the science, and he's right because the science is bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is the science. He is that science. He is a murderer, a mass murderer. And the very idea that was floated recently in the Atlantic Monthly magazine of amnesty for
Oh,
these
yeah.
criminals is an
Yes.
evil idea in and of itself. I had the privilege and pleasure of being one of the judges in a tribunal of conscience that reached its final verdict on November 29th last year. And we looked at three genocidal areas of responsibility in before we came to our judgment and our convictions of genocide, the usual suspects from the Queen of England on down. Or up. I don't know where you would put her. And those three areas were the COVID insanity
Yeah.
with its 5G component, the pulsed microwave component as a separate genocidal system,
Yes.
and aspartame,
Yes.
another genocidal poison. So we looked at those, and we had a long, 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 long list of people of convicted people and organizations, some of whom were condemned to die by us, and some of whom were condemned to lengthy prison terms. Now, we did not have, as no tribunal of conscience ever has, the authority to enforce our judgments. But we made those judgments. Unlike those lacking authority judgments, there is another process in every Commonwealth country. Those countries that follow the Napoleonic Code do not have this privilege, but you're in a Commonwealth law country, assuming you have a rule of law left,
Yeah.
you know, but At least theoretically, you're
Yes.
part of the Commonwealth, the common law system, as is the United States, except for the fact that common law was canceled here by presidential edict by George Bush Sr. But never mind. I'm sorry, George Bush Jr. George W. Bush, my error. Anyway, what we have, if we have a rule of law, is the process of affidavits and notices. Everybody in public office either has taken an oath of office, I swear to uphold the hoopy doodle wobby dobby bobby nom, or they have been employed to by contractual relationship by somebody who has, I have swear to uphold the hooby doodle poppy dom. And therefore, they are responsible for the person who's employed. Violating your oath of office is very serious. Violating the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Australia and so on, very serious. So there's constitutional issues, there's oath of office issues, and there's statutory violation. And they're all very serious. So you serve a notice and you say, I'm one of the people that you're responsible to, and you've done this and this and this and this in violation of that and that and that and that. And you have 72 hours, can make it 5 days. You have 72 hours to respond to me, to fix the situation and respond to me in writing to tell me what you've done. They don't. And then you follow that up with a signed, notarized affidavit. And you say, okay, you've been put on notice and you did this and this and this, and you didn't correct it, and it's in violation of that and that and that. And you have 72 hours to respond to me in a written point-by-point affidavit. Here's the interesting part, Madonna. And if you don't, that's an admission of guilt. Now, they don't. Of course they don't. And we will bombard somebody with hundreds or even thousands of these. In one situation, 35,000 of them have been presented. So what does that mean? The next step, and this is so cool, is you can get a grand jury impaneled by the Supreme Court of the state, by the county attorney, by the sheriff, by fairies from one municipality to another, who impanels a grand jury. And the grand jury's responsibility is to look at facts, including admissions of guilt. Each of these affidavits is an admission of guilt that stands in court. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I've been involved in that, trying to deal with the very powerful antenna that's 20 feet from my house, the pulsed microwave antenna, which I believe is there to kill me. They haven't turned it on yet. Gosh, wonder why. And we've been dealing with child trafficking, and we've had hundreds of children returned by the Child Protective Services all across the United States once we hit them with the notice and the affidavit, because they don't want to be exposed. Now, this is, some people call it a notice of liability. And it's not a matter of natural law. Natural law is something that people love to talk about and say, well, God wants this. I don't know. Maybe God does. Maybe God doesn't. God hasn't been calling me on my iPhone and telling me what God wants. I mean, I can infer this or that, and I can believe what you say if I choose to or disbelieve it, but I don't know that. I do know what the actual people law says. And the people law says we have recourse.
Yes.
Now, if we don't use it, shame on us. If we do use it, then good on us. Your constitution is being violated egregiously in terms of vaccine mandates, in terms of no jab, no pay, no jab, no play, in terms of all kinds of compulsions. And to the extent that people have used, as is ours, as is everybody's,
Yeah.
to the extent that people have used these legal means and had them fail, then that's a tragedy. But to the extent that they haven't used them, we don't know yet. Because what we see happening in the United States, at least, is that, and in Canada, is that bit by little bit by little bit, the tide is beginning to turn. But if nobody's pushing against the tide, it will never turn.
Yes. Do you have hope that we're going to get there?
Some days.
Yeah. The
Because
naturally
I'm also
oriented
a
aren't just
realist.
racing around, in circles.
L let me tell you what terrifies me
Yes.
and what impels me forward. First of all, let me tell you that I believe that anger, outrage, indignation, and fury are very appropriate emotions in this situation. And the people who say, "Well, we have to be there," are self-medicating, but they're also serving the monsters who want
Yeah.
us dead. I think my very favorite law firm, which operates internationally, is Hubbub and Uproar. I know, and I know for a fact because I've engineered it, that massive pushback against the monsters causes them to step back each and every time. But the pushback has to be massive and has to be to the point. It can't be tangential. Because they'll solve a tangential issue if that makes you happy
Yeah.
and continue with their monstrous depopulation and dehumanization.
Do you
And
have an
there is.
idea about how many people it is on the planet controlling all of this?
Yes, I do. I said to this head of state person, the queen, who's in charge of all of this? The Illuminati? She said, oh no, the Illuminati is middle management. I said, okay, Bilderberger, she said, they're below the Illuminati. I said, all right. Oh, she said, the seven dwarves. And I thought, oh my, she's really slipped a cog, hasn't she? I said, what? She said, there is a council of seven men who decide everything that happens. And I said, well, who are they? She said, I don't know. I said, look, I can understand that you might not choose to tell me who they are, but of course, in your position, you would know. She said, no, you don't understand. I don't want to know who they are. If I knew their identities, it would be worth my life. It's plausible to me. I don't know that it's true. I mean, she could believe it and it could not be true, but it's plausible. So,
Yes.
the fact that there might be a small council of people who are completely invisible to us and to others who are actually pulling the strings could be. Whoever they are, they're completely evil and they are complete psychopaths. Now, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I covered with you is what's happening with the pandemic preparedness and response treaty
Yes.
and the international health regulations. On November 21st, the God help us leaders of the 20 most powerful nations in the world in Bali signed a declaration. I urge you to look at that declaration. It
Yes,
is
I've seen it.
the scariest document I have ever read, because it lays out in absolute clarity the complete and utter destruction of everything about our lives that we think we control and that we value. And it's well laid out and it's magnificently thought through and it's incredibly well financed. These are unbelievable blueprints for complete and total destruction and enslavement of the small remnant that's allowed to survive. And they're very clear about it. No nation stands against this at this point. The only thing that stands against it is you, Madonna, is me, is our neighbors, is our friends, is the people who can still think. Now, the part of the plan, of course, is reduction of population. And what that means is that 70 or 80% of the population of this planet has been given these kill shots. And within a short period of time, Luc Montagnier said 2 years. I think he was wrong. I think it's going to take up to 4 years. All of those people will be dead. That means that the infrastructure collapse of our grid, our food, which is also being activated and engineered by the World Holocaust Organization, of our energy provisions, and for people who live in very cold climates and very hot climates, like I do. I'm wearing a sweater, but it's those few days in December when it's cold here. I'm so happy. The rest of the time, it's brutally hot. It's 40 degrees or 41 degrees centigrade. It's unlivably hot. Our water pumping systems, our sanitation systems, our communication systems will all crumble by design, and people will be so desperate that they'll have to be herded into, they'll agree to be herded into the transit villages where everybody gets 16 square meters to live in for their entire life. All this tiny house hoopla, that's predictive programming to
Yes,
get
the
ready
15-minute
to
cities.
15-minute cities. The six largest cities in the world have agreed to be 15-minute cities. You will be a slave. And if you're not happy about it, they'll kill you. Very simple. You don't have to be unhappy. We'll just make you dead. And then you can be fertilizer or food. And the insects can eat you and we can eat them. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Be happy. But that's what's going to happen unless
There's enough
we
pushback.
do the research. Pushback won't help people who have been jabbed or who have been transfected by those who have been jabbed.
Yes.
Research is needed. A major, massive Manhattan Project research program to find out how to get this shit out of people who have been jabbed or transfected by the jab, because these are contagious jabs, and how to reverse it. We don't know. We know how to reverse heavy metal poisoning. We know how to reverse various biological things, but we don't know how to reverse self-assembling nanotechnology
Yes.
that responds to pulsed microwave 5G stuff. We have no idea. And, they tell us, well, the only thing that your body is manufacturing based on the mRNA that we put into people is the spike protein, right?
Yeah.
Why would you believe them? Why would you
Exactly.
believe anything they say? Who the hell knows what the body is manufacturing? Look at the disastrous health collapse that we're seeing in addition to the sudden death.
Yeah.
So the infrastructure that holds our world together, I don't mean our physical mud ball, I mean the culture and the society and the functional distribution of goods and services and so on, that whole infrastructure is going to collapse.
Yeah.
It will make the Black Death, in which only half of the population of Europe look like a walk in the park. And we have the opportunity now to stop it if we do the research and figure out how to stop it. And if we don't do that research, then, except for Africa, where about 5% of the population has been jabbed, and of course, UNICEF and WHO and everybody else is frantic to get the rest of the population jabbed, except for Africa. The entire infrastructure is going to simply disintegrate. Imagine what it's like living with none of the things that make our life familiar to
Yeah.
us or livable, including food, including clean water, including hygiene, sanitation, etc. That's what's happening. So that's one thing that worries me. And the second, and that's part of the plan,
Yes,
intentional.
absolutely.
And the second thing that worries me is that By the time we figure it out, it will be too late. So the time pressure is enormous. The pandemic treaty needs to be ratified by each country. So we've got a little bit of time and the possibility of some pushback. The pandemic treaty is vile, but what's even worse and what doesn't need to be ratified is the international health regulations, which are being negotiated in secret. I have read, now that they've been released, the amendments that the G20 leaders agreed to support at the coming World Health Assembly, which is the meeting that the World Health Organization holds to ratify the changes it wants to make. The international health regulations will be legally binding for every member nation, making
Yes.
the most important thing we can do, second to the research that I was just talking about, getting our countries out of the United Nations and of the World Health Organization. Now, it turns out that's not really very difficult. The head of state writes a letter and says, I'm out of here. And that's that. But getting the head of state to write that letter when the head of state has already signed on to everything that they want, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2023, these death programs, that's another matter. And that's where the pushback comes in. So if you go to a site called PreventGenocide2030.org, PreventGenocide2030.org, you will see a button that says Act Now. And if you click on the button that says Act Now, it says Propose New Action. Now, let's suppose, Madonna, that you decide that you don't want your country to be legally bound by the new regulations, the new amended regulations of the international health regulations, which would be a really good call on your part. You go to that tab. And you write an action item for Australia. And that action item, you can use the template that we have in our action item that you'll find when you scroll down the home page. It says, Stop IHR negotiations now. There's another one that says, Stop vaccine passports, which is the digital aspect of
Yes.
that. You can use our template. Modify it. Obviously, for instance, we reference a proposed bill in the United States to get out of the United Nations. You don't have that proposed bill. You're in Australia. Modify it. Fill in the database spreadsheet for the targets, which would be your poobahs and your members of parliament.
Yeah.
And we will put that up for you. We will create. This is an incredibly powerful tool that Natural Solutions Foundation is making available to every activist everywhere in the world. Create it, you write it, and then you disseminate it. You get it to everybody in Australia, and you push back against your government and say, collectively and individually, the three most important words of a free person. Do you know what they are, Madonna?
I don't consent.
Those are very important words, but I have another three words. Don't you dare.
Nice.
Don't you dare.
Yes.
And I have seen the United States back down in 11 days when 3.5 million people clicked. They rode their freedom mouse and they clicked and they said, I do not consent. Don't you dare. This was about the swine flu vaccine, which was
Right.
laced with something publicly stated to make every man, woman, and child in the United States infertile. Back in 2009, we told people about that. We gave them the patent
And
numbers
how many
that the
people
United.
died from the swine flu before they pulled it, the swine flu jab? Was it?
Allegedly, worldwide 11.
Yeah.
I doubt that anybody did. It was engineered, by the way, it's a bioweapon that was engineered in a World Health Organization lab outside of Glasgow, Scotland. They've been at this for a while,
Yes.
quite a while. So the point is
Yeah.
that we told people, and they clicked their freedom mice, and each click that said send 28 letters. 28 times 3.5 million is a lot of letters. And in 11 days, the United States government said, ooh, guess not. And then they had this problem because they had bought the world supply of, or a huge supply of swine flu, and they had bought squalene to inject with the swine flu, which is the sterilizant. And now what are we going to do with it? Because the Occupational Safety and Health Organization, OSHA, said, you can't burn that. It's got too much mercury. You can't dump it down the drain because it's too toxic. You can't bury it in the ocean. You can't bury it on land. There's no way you can dis they could put it in our bodies and babies' bodies, but it's too toxic to dispose of. So the United States government, like any responsible first world country, gave this sterilizant poison to the children of sub-Saharan Africa to protect them from swine flu, which was
Oh.
non-existent. Just another one of our generous acts. I mean, we make war, we give vaccines, we're just, we're a bundle of laughs. So the action items multiplied, we'll post it for you. People could go there and take it. You post it wherever you want. You put it on your media, you share it with all your colleagues. This is not a time for territoriality. This is a
Yes.
time for commonality because we're all going to be destroyed if we do not reach back and say, don't you dare, and I do not consent. That's four words. That's kind of like Biden saying, made in USA is three words. Okay. I'm not comparing you to Biden. It was
That's all good.
affectionate. Horrible thought. The Pandemic Preparedness Treaty needs to be ratified. The IHR and the amended IHR does not need to be ratified. It simply is a legally binding reality for member states. For member states. So if your country's not a member state, it's not legally binding. What does it do? It says, at any moment, for any purpose, and they take out the words respect for human dignity, values, culture, they take out all the human words. At any moment, the Director General of the World Holocaust Organization, who happens to be an Ethiopian genocidalist, Tedros is an Ethiopian genocidalist. The Ethiopian part's good, the genocidalist part is bad. Tedros, or whoever is sitting in that chair, can declare a public health emergency of international concern, a fake. Once a fake, like monkeypox, which now has
Yes.
been renamed because in our president's bizarre excuse for a mind, monkeypox sounded racist to him. Excuse me? What? Okay, I can't even follow that. But now it's mpox. Well, that was a balloon that they flew, a flag that they flew, as they say, and nobody saluted, so they put that down. But it's still a medical emergency around the world. Once fake, a public health emergency of international concern is declared, under these amended international health regulations, more strongly than under the current ones, the Director General of the World Health Organization becomes the dictator general of the world. Whether the country that he's pointing at agrees or not, basically, World Health Organization's Director General takes over the country, dissolves the sovereignty of the country. You don't even have to have any instances of the disease or alleged disease. If he says you do, you do. In the poem The Hunting of the Snark by Lewis Carroll, the bellman, who is the central character, makes these absurd statements, and he says, I have told you three times, it is true. Well, that's how this works. The
Yeah.
director general says, there's a fake. A fake fake or a real fake. What is a fake? Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. He now has dictatorial power over every aspect of everybody's life, including your personal sovereignty, forced medical treatment, forced confinement, forced appropriation of property, forced designation of where you can go, what you can do, control of every aspect of your life, removal of your children, whatever they decide to do. Oh, what about pushback? There is none. What about review by somebody else? There is none. We're talking about global dictatorship. And that is what the G20 leaders, in their despicable document, their declaration, have declared that they will support. And this has been going on in secret. If people do not push back now, they are destined for destruction. We are destined for destruction. It is now or it is not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've passed laws here in Queensland in October that basically mean that if any doctor or somewhere in it, it says civilian as well, but any doctor, health professional speaks against our health emergency sort of things, we can get 3 years in jail and $60,000 fine. So that
Shortly
and
after.
And there's something bizarre in Queensland where, because we don't have a lower and an upper house here in Queensland. So there's something specific where if it gets passed here, then it automatically happens around all of Australia simultaneously.
Oh,
Yes. So
no.
it's already been New South Wales immediately was straight behind him. Dan, Dictator Dan down in Victoria, he passed pandemic laws very similar to what Tedros has, where basically he can, at the drop of a hat, and he got it signed. I don't know why anyone passes this bullshit. So he got it signed so that he can call a pandemic without a single case, without a
A single
single.
case. And by the way, the issue of case is a very important one, Madonna. You don't define a pandemic by saying we have a lot of statistics. That's not what a pandemic is. Or as we were talking about before we began recording, Margaret Chan, when she was the Director General of the World Holocaust Organization, Margaret Chan simply dissolved any definition of pandemic. Now, if you look at the Pandemic Preparedness and Response Treaty, which is a nauseating but necessary activity, if you read it, you find that there are no definitions for anything. Case is not defined, case rate is not defined, fatality rate is not defined. It used to be, back when epidemiology had some meaning and was not just a political game, it used to be that a pandemic was generally agreed upon as a situ a disease which is easily transmissible from human to human, and which, or to humans, it doesn't have to be from human to human, it could be rats, lice to humans, but is easily transmissible, which results in the death of 7% of the people who become ill. That was a pandemic. And you could have an epidemic or you could have an outbreak. They were lesser issues and they didn't necessarily have to involve death. But a pandemic is a death event at a certain level, or at least it used to be. Now a pandemic is any damn thing I say if I have the authority.
And
Now a
they tried
pandemic
pretty
is a
hard with
PCR
remdesivir.
case. Now a pandemic is asymptomatic people walking around with absolutely no problem who are useful to be called asymptomatic carriers. There is no such thing as a pandemic with an asymptomatic carrier. I mean, well, there is no such thing as a pandemic in a modern functioning society unless the society has failed or somebody wants there to be a pandemic. Of course, bioweapons are special. You know, wait, somebody ought to do a, I don't know, an embroidery sampler that put over the mantle that says bioweapons are special. Put some roses because bioweapons are special.
Yeah.
But we still have immune systems. And if we get rid of 5G, which is pulsed microwave signaling to the nanotechnology that's been injected or transmitted, then we have yet more immune competence. I think I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
I've forgotten what that was. But have you seen Dr. David Nixon chat about what he's been finding with the Pfizer?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
Yeah. So that's been
Yes.
very interesting, you know. So he's actually creating a Faraday cage that he can put people in, and you know the little app you can do on your phone and see whether people have the whether they're acting like a device. So
Yes.
he actually has built a Faraday cage so he can actually start working out and then start finding whether they can dissolve it somehow. So,
This is
he's going to
enormously
start.
important. I've been following his work with Anna Milhassia and Shimon Yankovic in
Yes.
Israel and
Israel.
so on.
Yes.
Yes. These are very, very important studies. In the United States, every vial of all of the so-called vaccines belongs to the United States government, and examination of them is actually a federal crime.
Oh, yay.
How about
That's
that?
fun.
Yes,
So
yes.
many rules to protect the humans. Yes.
Indeed. So it is utterly imperative that people expose themselves to being uncomfortable. Who
Yes.
wants to think about this stuff? This is scary stuff.
Yeah.
And the scariest part of it is that it's not a horror film like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that you go to by choice. This
Yes.
is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre of our genes and our society and our humanity that is being imposed upon us. And we really have no choice but
I've been
to
wondering
either.
whether or not in the last few days it's come out that Bill Gates again wants to join up with Baldy Dude from Amazon, and to create brain chips. And of course, we've got the other guy with the brain chip.
Musk,
So I'm wondering
Musk.
whether all of that is just pretend, because they're already doing it. They're
They're
already
already
putting
doing
these
it.
chips in the vaccine. Or at least they have the ability seemingly to be created after these vaccines,
Absolutely.
or from the nanotechnology falling from the sky. When I was in
We've
Italy
had,
recently, there were so
we've,
many chemtrails you could literally see the clouds being formed. One of the ladies, Antoinette Gatti, she's been an electron microscopy expert for decades. And so she recently took a water sample because she's in Italy. And she waited until she said it takes about 2 days for the nanoparticulates to come from the chemtrails down to us. So she wanted the chemtrails to be there. She waited 2 days until there was rain. She took the first water and then she did electron microscopy with it. And there was heaps of carbon and oxygen. And that was one of our big discussions because, of course, graphene is made. Is that right? Graphene's made from carbon and oxygen. So when she's doing electron microscopy, there was heaps of that. But then, of course, there was all sorts of other things like aluminium and titanium, and she sort of found all sorts of things. But one of the things that she found was a mosquito that was about 4 times the length of a bit of pollen. So it was a microscopic mosquito, and she did a close up of its eyeball, and it's been haunting me ever since I saw that because I'm thinking, what are these little micro? I mean, I know Bill Gates loves mosquitoes. It's one of his fetishes, but it's quite fascinating what is out there.
Can you send me the links to this data?
Antoinetta, I'll send you her email. Yeah.
Please, please
Yeah,
do. This
absolutely.
is very important. I am running out of time.
Yes.
I would like to tell people where they can find a little bit more or a
Awesome.
lot more information. First of all, preventgenocide2030.org is constantly updated with videos, with things that you need to know. The entire international health regulations and the amendments annotated and discussed is available on that site, which is a huge amount of work that one of our people has done. We have information from James Roguski, who is tirelessly pouring out information about this. I hope that we'll have an Australian action item soon. It's not a hard thing to do. I hope anybody else who's listening to this, who's in whatever country they're in, will create an action item, and we will use that tool for you. By the way, it's a very expensive tool, but we're making that available as a gift to every activist anywhere in the world who wants to organize and orchestrate pushback against the international health regulations, against the Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, the secret negotiations, or any other health freedom issue that is of paramount importance to you. So PreventGenocide2030.org is a deep resource for our side. We need that, and we will
Yes.
support everything that people want to do on it. The second thing is that I have a podcast. You may know that Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood have been found guilty of things that absolutely violate their human rights in New Zealand. They will be sentenced in March, and they will be our guests on my podcast, which takes place on the People for FOR, peopleforpeople.ning. NING.com network live 2 o'clock. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock Eastern Time on Tuesdays, and it's archived on Rumbles under Dr. Rima Truth Reports, DRRIMA Truth Reports. We also have a news aggregation site and a Rumble, not Rumble, a Telegram chat called Open Source Truth. And these are terribly, terribly important resources, and they are available to everyone. This is going to make you uncomfortable. President McKinley of the United States, who was assassinated, said, obviously before he was assassinated, that's when most conversation takes place. He said, the truth will make you free, but first it's going to make you really uncomfortable. I urge people to set their minds to be willing to experience the discomfort of truth, because with experiencing the discomfort of truth comes the stimulus to making a new truth, our truth, people's truth, that serves humanity instead of destroys humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a dynamo. I'll make sure I put up all of those websites. How can I ask, how is the funding from the vitamin sales on your websites? Like, how do you get funded, Dr. Rima?
We ask people to make donations. We used
Okay.
to sell the most spectacular nano silver on the planet, and the FDA, the Fraud and Death Administration, violated my rights to free speech, which are guaranteed by our much vaunted and much abused First Amendment.
Yes.
And because I made the following statement in writing, that as a person who is in the age range that was said to be the most vulnerable to COVID when it first came out, I was unworried because I protected the normal structure and function of my immune system with daily use of vitamins, minerals, and nano silver, which is true. That is my opinion. I was unworried. That is my health protection program. And so they took us to federal court, and they said that I was making a cure claim for COVID, which I was not. Now, in the United States, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, DSHEA, passed in 1994, which says that nutrients are food and you can have as much of anyone as you want, also says, oh, but by the way, it is illegal, it is a crime in the United States to use the following words with reference to any named or known disease or condition. And the words are prevent, treat, cure, mitigate, or diagnose. Well, I wasn't preventing, treating, curing, mitigating, or diagnosing. What I was saying was, I'm protecting my immune system's normal structure and function. And they said, oh, yeah. So we did not have the hundreds of thousands of dollars. How do we get funded? Slowly and poorly by people who understand that their health freedom needs to be supported. And they make donations to us, and you can do that on our various sites. And we hope you do. Please do. Or you can send us a check or a money order. Please do. So they took us to court. And because we didn't have $200,000 or more to defend ourselves in federal court, we signed what is called a consent decree, a really dissent decree, but it's called a consent decree. And the consent decree says, without an admission of guilt, because we didn't do what you said we did, nonetheless, we won't do what you said we shouldn't do, which we didn't do. And we also won't sell nano silver ever again, personally or organizationally. So that was our principal support. Now, what that means is, although it supported us, the people who would use it no longer have a magnificent immune system support. So we would love your donations. We have a few things for sale at NSF Marketplace, and you're welcome to buy them. We hope you do. Buy lots of them, buy multiples of them, give them away for Christmas, give them for birthday, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever. Just help us because we
Yeah.
have no funding from anybody other than our supporters. And we are completely dependent on people valuing their health freedom. I take no money. This is not a way for a physician to get rich.
Yeah.
Our other folk do not get paid. This is a volunteer effort based on an urgent sense of the importance of not allowing this to happen. It's a good
Absolutely.
question.
Yeah,
If anybody
because
out there wants to make a large donation, we have a tax-exempt sister organization called the Institute for Health Research, inhere.org, inhere. And you can donate endless and unlimited amounts of money there. We think that would be a good thing to do.
awesome. Awesome. So really people need to get involved. People can't be going, well, thank goodness I'm going to die soon. Thank goodness, my children aren't going to have children on the planet because you wouldn't want them growing up in this place. People have got to stop being such turds and they've got to get involved and active in this. Otherwise, we're going down. Like it is such a it's happening.
It is happening. That's the hardest thing. Well, you know that no, it can't be like that. Yes, it is. These
Yes.
people are not your friendly neighbors who
Yeah.
want to make sure that they share their zucchini with you.
Yes.
These people are psychopathic monsters who quite literally want you dead.
Yeah.
And they want those whom they maintain as their servants and servitors and technicians subservient, docile and dumb. Also infertile, by the way.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rima, and
Thank you.
it's been an absolute pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.